right. So today's show is going to be largely about updates. Not entirely. We will get into some other things as well, but there's a lot going on, and I want to make sure you're in the loop on this as I try to, you know, I always figure out how best to make use of media, social media platforms, and whatnot, not only to get the gospel to you, but to others. I took a cue from Pastor Brian Wolfmuller, and for the annual pastor's report that I'm preparing for St. Paul Lutheran Church in Rockford, Illinois, this year, I went and started cataloging and trying to find information about all the, what we would call extracurricular activities that I do online, trying to show what actually comes of it. And along with total downloads and total minutes watched and things like that, one of the other things I looked at was where content is going, both for Podbean and for YouTube. Where in the world is this stuff getting seen? And it was pretty cool to see. It really even surprising. I mean, I kind of had a hope, but I was really blown away by what I actually found there. So I don't really care as much about the numbers per se. It's where this content has gotten to. And YouTube's kind of neat, right? All the nations that have watched more than 100 minutes of youtube.com/worldvieweverlasting include the United States, Canada, Australia, Finland, Ukraine, Germany, Ireland, the UK, the Netherlands, Russia, Sweden, France, Italy, Singapore, Denmark, the Philippines, South Africa, Mexico, Poland, India, New Zealand, Switzerland, South Korea, and Puerto Rico. That's all with more than 100 minutes watched, with the average watch time of about 6 minutes per video. Now, that's not exactly conversion, but it might be, yeah? The most obscure country reached on YouTube was the Turks and Caicos Islands. I don't even know where that is, with 64 minutes, and again, an average duration of 6 minutes in those videos. I also found it interesting that the average watcher statistics for gender are like off the charts. Like, so I've said since the beginning of Worldview Everlasting, that no longer exists, by the way, right? We're clear on that? Yeah. I've said since the beginning of this that my target audience was the 18 to 34-year-old male. That's who I really wanted to reach. So would you believe that the watcher statistics for that channel is 91% male? That's just unbelievable to me. And that 43% of them are aged 25 to 34, and the second largest group, 19%, is age 18 to 24. Right, so over 60% of the age demographic, and then 90% of the gender demographic. Kaboom, we hit it, right? I compare that to, say, the 0.9% over 65. Yeah, maybe a little too fast and shaky. But the Podbean stuff, you know, this, right? The sermons and the podcast, the numbers aren't as big, and it hasn't been around as long. I don't know, maybe it'll never catch up. But it also reaches some really cool places. Now, if you do want to know, you know, what is the number one downloaded episode this year, right? And even though it was an episode we recorded last year, it's still number one this year. It is Why Pray, Part 1 with Pastor Brian Wolfmuller. And all three of the Why Prays ended up in the top 10, which is pretty cool. Had 1,617 downloads. Well, I'm also pretty excited that even though it wasn't number two or number three, one of the sermons is up there. The Sermon on Unbelievability that I preached on April 28th, 2019 at St. Paul Lutheran Church. 1,390 downloads. Now, these are small numbers in the big scheme of things. This podcast and even the YouTube channel, they are peons in a very, very large world. But here's why I'm even talking about this. The countries reached by the Podbean podcast in order of reach with more than 50 downloads to be on the list, right? US, Canada, okay, Germany, Australia, yeah. Norway, UK, cool. Finland, there's Lutherans there. Italy, more than 50 downloads in Italy. South Africa, Lutherans there. Singapore, huh? South Korea, Spain, Sweden, okay, Lutherans again. Denmark, Netherlands, Lutherans, Russia, Ireland, no Lutherans in Ireland. Romania, Iceland, the Philippines, the Dominican Republic, Japan, Nepal, France, the Isle of Man, and India. Now, that's even still not what I really wanted to share it with you. This just made my day. Maybe my year. The most obscure country reached via the podcast, RevFisk, whatever we call it, Saudi Arabia. Just three downloads. Just three. But three downloads in Saudi Arabia. Now that's the ticket right there, right? Qatar also had one download. It didn't come back, but it got there. It got there. I find that truly amazing. Now, again, we're doing updates. The left turns, right turns are going to be a little hard here, but this is going to connect somewhat to a number of things we'll talk about later, like Article 13, if you haven't heard about this yet, as well as, well, YouTube, which is a thing. But I have a couple of like more theological things to throw at you, which I think you might enjoy more. And So we'll just start with that. So first off, you haven't heard any Daniel for a while, right? And you're like, where's the Daniel, Pastor Fisk? I'm not going to patronize you anymore. No, there's no Daniel, right? I hope that's not how you're feeling. It's on my conscience just about every week. But here's what happened. I received an email from a brother pastor, scholar, guy who knows his details after the last episode. And he basically said, I think you're just really wrong. And I was like, oh, okay, well, you know, it's hard to know. He said, nope, there's more research we can know. And this is all having to do with who is the son of Nebuchadnezzar in the room when the writing is on the wall. And based upon Kyle and Dalich's argument, which I thought was pretty strong, I just told the story, and I admitted that I could be wrong about this, but I just told the story that this was evil Marduk. And if you've not heard that episode, it's not a bad episode. It's still got a lot of fun fantasy horror kind of stuff in it, right? But he said, no, it can't be. And it is the, and I'm going to lose his name now because I haven't done enough research on this yet, but it's the last king of Babylon. And so the whole idea is that, yes, when the queen says, don't you remember your father? This is just maybe even a secondary queen, lesser queen, not even the wife of Nebuchadnezzar, who does know about Daniel. Daniel's been toiling away in obscurity for a while, and he's called in. And I don't like that answer still, but apparently the archaeological evidence really substantiates this today. And what I want to do is make sure I get a handle on that before I go any further. And so I've kind of hemmed and hawed about this. At one point, I had written some stuff out, and then things got away from me. And I also now have just recently ordered the Concordia commentary by Steinman from Concordia Chicago, which this is another guy who he knows his details, he knows his archaeology. And so I want to dig through that before I do anything else in Daniel, because I don't want to leave it behind, but I don't want to put something out there that's not really, you know, up to date and what you want to believe. So that's that. At the same time, I've been really enjoying the conversations I'm getting to have, and I think you have too. For all the years that I did Worldview Everlasting, it was 8 years, something like that, 2 videos a week. For all the time that I did that, I wrote a book, Broken. It was really well received. Lots of people knew about it. People were asking me to talk all over the nation. It doesn't happen quite as much anymore, by the way. I don't talk as much, which is fine. But it, you know, there was a lot there. I never, ever, 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 ever had someone come to my church and say, I'm not really a churchgoer, I'm not really a Christian, or I'm a lapsed Christian. As opposed to someone who's already a Lutheran in some way, I've never had someone come to my congregation that I served and say, I need to join your church. I found this stuff and I want to learn. Never. And this last week, it happened from, well, now it wasn't just the podcast. But the podcast did a big piece of that. And what he said to me, and I hope he probably will listen to this, so hopefully I'm not talking out of school, but what he said to me was, the last 2 episodes, I thought you were talking directly to me, and that my friend who told me about you, who goes to your church, that he had told you all the stuff you needed to say to me. And and here I am, I'm like feeling guilty because I'm not putting Daniel out, right? And I'm talking about the Antichrist with Wolfmuller. We started the eschatology stuff way back, and that's great, but it's like, oh, the Antichrist episode, this is important, but it's hardly, you know, relevant to what the world as we know it today. I mean, it's not like the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on the front page is putting stuff about the Pope being the Antichrist, right? It just doesn't fit the marketing motif. Yeah. And then the one with Pastor Kuntz about community, retreat versus attack and all that. Now I'm going to lose the word. What was it? Not appellation. That's not the word. Assessment. That's not the word. It starts with an A. You're yelling at the stereo. I'm not going to cut this just so you have to yell at the stereo right now. Appeasement. There it is. I knew it would come eventually. Appeasement. You know, being church in the present age, what that looks like. Those spoke to him. Yeah. And then there he is, you know, wanted to learn more, which is just phenomenal. It's just fantastic. And what I'm saying is I really have enjoyed these conversations too. I've enjoyed the interviews. Remember the interviews I did? If you didn't listen to any of those when I was like at Fort Wayne, or I've had a couple of people here in studio and done interviews, I actually did all the legwork to at least buy a ticket to fly somewhere in order to do a few more interviews. And then again, the time constraints of my life just didn't let it happen. But it's something I really wanted to pursue because I find that kind of conversation just interesting. And face-to-face is always better than online, but I'm kind of realizing that it's just going to have to be online. I'm setting up some things to maybe make that happen. But then I feel like, oh, but Daniel, right? Oh, but Revelation, where'd they go? Yeah. So there's all that going on. What I don't want is for you to think that I've abandoned you. Yeah. There was a comment somewhere, and without giving away what I'm going to talk about in a few moments, there was a comment somewhere I found recently, and it wasn't Podbean. But it was someone who said, Pastor Fisk, are you just going to make more promises and take our money and then leave again? And that struck me pretty deep. Yeah. I mean, it was like, that was not what I tried. I didn't think I'd. Yeah. Yeah. So it's how I feel about like Daniel, right? Or Revelation. Those of you who have been longtime Patreon subscribers or supporters, I should say. You know, there have been things I put there because it's like, okay, I think this is what we're going to try to do. Here are my goals. And they make you put goals up there on Patreon. And then, you know, time goes and things happen. I'm trying to do new stuff, which will be interesting and work, and also which I can maintain and enjoy because I don't want to get trapped into making content I don't enjoy, right? That would suck. So it struck me pretty deep when he said that. And it betrays a number of things that he doesn't know about where this happened and the context of what it was and all this kind of stuff, especially if you're going to talk about Worldview Everlasting and what went on behind the scenes and the closing of that and how that was really a necessary thing on a number of levels and all this and how none of the money was taken in order to take the money. The intention was always to get the gospel out. But for you now who are supporting me, I'm talking to you Patreon subscribers. If you're not, you please consider being, but only after you listen to this, right? For you who are doing that, if you subscribed because you wanted the revelation or you wanted the Daniel, I want you to know that I don't intend to not do that, but I may never do that because I'm going to do what the most pressing and achievable thing is with regards to getting the actual gospel out as often as possible. And that in its context, I should say law and gospel, right, and understood as we are today as a worldview. And I'm going to do that recognizing that one of the hurdles to doing that is not will you listen to it or does it have enough advertising? One of the hurdles is can I get it done? Can I sit down this week and spend 3 to 4 hours reading on the book of Daniel, which I don't know enough about, but I want to learn about it. I still do. And then spend another 3 hours on the podcast, right? Can I do that this week? And the problem with Daniel is like, I can do the studying this week and then try to record next week. Yeah. Then you got to study all over again, right? So where does that fit into the bigger picture of everything that's going on in reality, in my energy level, yada, yada, yada. Okay. So, if you feel betrayed, please, please, please go stop being my patron. Please, just stop. I love you. Thank you for what you've done. What I'm going to be doing now is still making this podcast the primary means by which you may decide whether or not you want to support everything else that I'm doing. In that, then, I will be putting out 4 podcasts a month, 5 very rarely, right, when you got 5 of Thursdays in the month. And I will be doing everything I can to make it interesting, valuable, real, authentic, theological, deep, right? Everything that we do, everything I've been doing, including getting into the Bible. But there will be times where I just do random stuff, like today. where it ultimately, it's Friday. I missed Thursday, right? I couldn't get it done. I was working on this annual report. That was the main thing I was doing yesterday. There's other stuff too. Oh man, how am I going to talk about that? That's also coming up in a moment to talk about. But so here we are today, and I needed to get it done. I want to get it done. I want to talk to you. I want to be in your ear. I want you to feel fed. I want you to have information. I want you to feel entertained. So what can I talk about? And the fact is, I need to talk about this. Yeah. So my mom, God bless her. I love my mom. Every time I do one of these things where I'm like getting really honest with y'all, she's like, I'm not so sure you should be so honest out there. It just doesn't look good. And I get it, Mom. The era of the boomers and the greatest generation had a very real and I think maybe good for their time understanding of boundaries, saving face, that kind of thing. But there's this other flip that's happened, and I don't know what caused this, whether it is that we all feel so distant from each other because of social media, like we see each other, but we don't know each other. There's all this best picture of me ever put up, right? Not the worst one that everybody sees, combined with the endless stream of advertising that we're all facing with canned photos and fake people. You know, they're eating at McDonald's and man, are they pretty? Yeah. And at a certain point we're like, none of this is real. And so oddly, one of the things I'm really speaking for millennials here, even though you can accuse me of not being one, I am one. I'm a year early, but I authenticate with them. We value vulnerability more than just about anything else. And we see vulnerability as being hand in hand with truth. Because if you're vulnerable while you say it, you're probably not lying. Like that'd be a dumb lie, right? So that's sort of what this is too. I am banking on this. I am believing that the platform that I want to continue to build and use for the sake of the Word of God for the rest of my life is going to be banked on that you want to hear what I'm actually thinking, regardless of whether or not it looks awesome or is awesome. Because you believe that I am trying to think in the present age by means of the Word of God. And in hearing the way that I'm processing that, it somehow benefits you, right? That you're able to take a piece or three or even just a feel from the thing and apply it to your own stand. Yeah. Your own battle. So that's what you're going to patronize me for, if you're patronizing me, please. And if not, God bless you. I had no hard feelings. So changes. I'm not taking a call anywhere. Shh. Not happening. That's not it. Nope. So if that was what you're worried about, no. But there are two, and they kind of are not connected, but kind of are. There are two major shifts that are just about to happen. That does not include what I'm dealing with at the parish as we leave our downtown facility and go to our satellite site to become our main site because of finances, which is, that's a long story too. It's actually a really good thing. We're going to be really solid once we get there. When a mega church stops being a mega church and then becomes a small church, that you feel like you can't do anything, and then maybe you just don't realize that if you just had a small church building, you're actually pretty big. You just can't have the mega church building anymore. It comes down to that. So that's all going on, right? But two other events are happening kind of at the same time that present a major, what's the right word? Here I am searching for words again. Should I cut this out or should I let you hear me want the right word so badly that I will waste time talking about it? I don't even remember what it was now. Goodness gracious. And I actually did pause it and when I looked it up and then texted my wife and came back. These two things are presenting a category shift or a framework shift for my life in ways that I can't really imagine what it's going to look like. And I am going to have to tell you what they both are, although one of them I'm not sure I'm supposed to yet. But I don't know how else to do it. And I want to put the best construction on the entire thing. I want it to be clear from where I'm standing that there is no negative hard feelings in this thing. So I'll just do that one first. Yeah. June 26th will be the last radio show I do with KFUO Radio at the International Center of the LCMS in St. Louis. I've been working for them for, I think, over 3 years now, very close to it, and have been working, you know, as a contract artist for them for more like a year and a half, not quite that much. And that means 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, come rain, come shine, come vacation sometimes. I get up at 6:30, and by 8 o'clock, I am seated and doing radio. I do that till 9. I do it when I travel, all that kind of stuff, right? It was the clock. It was absolutely clockwork, right? You think going to work is on time, but like, no. Like, on time. Yeah, always. And that's not all bad. It wears on you. I'll say that after a while. It really does wear on you, especially if you're trying to do other things at the same time. Although, I chose to try to do other things at the same time, and I do think it is still possible to do other things at the same time. So it's not as though being a pastor is the problem. It's not that I didn't have enough time as a pastor, right? And I'll come back and try to talk about, you know, my own quirk in this. I'm going to write that down, actually, not enough time. But the long and short is that for the last couple of months, we've been talking about, okay, do we do this another year or not? And at the end of the day, I have come to the conclusion that what I went to KFUO to do, I have done. And it is actually done to the extent that it can be handed off. So what happened over the course of my time being in the office and then working for them as a contractor, even though it wasn't really ever my decision, right? But I was kind of the catalyst for a lot of this, was that the entire morning lineup was revolutionized, completely shifted. Everything was moved around, new shows were started, pieces were done, so that I think it became more authentically good Lutheran radio. And that included like oratio, which you get up and there's quiet, sacred music right to start the day, combined with Bible readings and prayers and a little bit of a meditation, right? So that was me for a while. And then before I left, I handed that one off to somebody, and he's been doing a great job of that. And then you had Sharper Iron that used to be kind of like the variety show, and instead has become this pretty dynamic Bible teaching thing that goes on every morning, growing audience. And then Cross Defense and Conquer Matters of the Afternoon, there were things there that I impacted. Music selection, beginning to look at the library and rethink about what music we have, and all those kinds of, lots of really good things, good conversations, catalyzing conversations. And the last piece of all of this was Sharper Iron, the daily show. But Sharper Iron is about as far as I think I'm ever going to take it. And this is in part my own fault, is because Sharper Iron isn't my thing. I have other things I want to do that are my thing. And someday they might not be my thing anymore either, but for now, that's the project I want to work on. So when it comes to enough time, the problem is not enough time to do Sharper Iron. The problem is if I do Sharper Iron, I don't have enough time to do the other things I want to do. And I'm not talking about watch football. Yeah, not that I don't mind it so much, but I'm talking about my grand list of plans, you know, too many deep that may never come to pass. But let me throw you a couple that are happening on the side here, right? So I have for the last, maybe 2.5-3 months, I am working on a comic book / graphic novel with an artist. And he and I are working as a team. I'm not buying his work. We're going to self-publish this together. Talk to CPH a bit. They've declined to make use of this particular work. But and initially we're thinking comic book, but I'm leaning now, I got to talk with them a little more about this, but I'm leaning now toward we're going to make this thing a graphic novel. So it'll be basically 5 comic books. And it's uber cool, man. I every time I have to write, I always don't want to write, but then I sit down and I write because I'm a writer. When I send the stuff to him and I send suggestions for the artwork and whatnot, I kind of throw it out there and I'm like, oh man, that was exhausting. And then like a week and a half later, it comes back and I'm like, oh my goodness, he did exactly what was in my head, right? It's so cool. And I'm not going to give away any more than that. I'll just tell you it's called Ancient Legacy, Chronicle of a Forbearant God. And so there's that, right? And the time for that is happening, but I want to give it more. Or I have a full bore like children's book idea, same kind of concept, picture book, really nice one called Gatekeeper. Also not really interested. CPH wasn't interested in this one either, which is perfectly okay. That one though, see, and this is where the rubber hits the road a little bit. I probably am going to have to pay an artist to do that one. Yeah. And the guys who I was looking at that I really want to pay to do this one, I mean, we're looking at between $200 and $500 per page, per drawing, because they're good artists, and it would look amazing. It would be such a cool book, right? Well, I can't do that right now like this, right? And certainly I can't give it the attention to figure out another way to do it while I'm also getting up every day and giving most of my morning mental energy, which is the best energy of the day, to Sharper Iron, right? So all of that kind of comes together, and I dialogue with KFUO a bit, and we just both agree, yep, okay, cool. Thank you. Here we go, right? And they're looking for a new host, I believe. I think that they will find one without too much trouble, because I think what's been set up to step into is a good show with a great lineup of guests and a good ethos. Yeah, I'm just going to drive that. So that's happening. And I share this, again, I want to build up KFUO. Are there things I do differently? Of course there are. Anybody would say that. But, you know, what they're trying to do is good. They're trying to get the gospel out over the internet. That's fantastic. Yeah, and it really over the airwaves in St. Louis too, for what terrestrial radio is worth these days, which is less. It's definitely less. So I share this because of that, but then also to demonstrate like this framework shift I'm dealing with. I'm not getting a new job, but in theory, I mean, I don't even know. In theory, I'm going to find about 15 hours a week more in my week. Can you imagine what that must be like? I don't know. I've still got a couple of weeks to go, and I want to see it, and I don't want to waste it. The last thing I want to do is start sleeping in again. I used to sleep pre-sleep apnea diagnosis days. You know, I could never drag myself out of bed before I absolutely had to. First, whatever was required of the day is very difficult because I wasn't sleeping, didn't sleep for a decade, right? And so I don't think that'll happen. I think I'll be able to keep my morning routine and make use of this time. But I don't want to lose it. I think I want to read more. Oh, for goodness sakes, I want to read more. I'm going to write more. I got this fiction book. And some of you who follow this podcast, Podbean, you've heard pieces of this thing, right? I called it Earth back when I was recording some of it. That thing is sat there. It's actually one of like several fiction books, but it's the one that's the most. I could complete that thing in a year if I could just give it some time, if I could just give it some solid writing time. And it's like this, it's a pure fiction book. It's not for theology per se, but you know how, it's not like C.S. Lewis either. You know how Tolkien, he doesn't really do what C.S. Lewis does, where you got like the Christ figure who does exactly what, you know, what Jesus did, and some of the word, you can like just pair all the pieces together, betrayed by Edmund, all that. But you know how in The Lord of the Rings, if you are a fan, and if you're not, you're crazy, you should read the books. Movies, okay, fine, but read the books. Tolkien has a way of infusing his story with a Christian worldview, even though it's completely not a Christian story, right? And that's what this could be, and I want it to be, and I've wanted to do this for so many years, so I want to give time to that. So framework shift, right? How do I even begin to think about making the best use of 15 hours of my week that is suddenly going to just open wide up? And then, so here's the other piece to this marvelous puzzle. Through a number of dialogues with another organization, Lutheran Public Radio, and some research on the internet regarding YouTube content, YouTube rights, YouTube laws, we came to the understanding, Lutheran Public Radio and I, that I could procure from them, mostly for not much, right? I could procure from them the YouTube channel, youtube.com/RevFiskJ, which has my name on it, right? And that in doing this, I would also curate the Worldview Everlasting videos, make it very clear that Worldview Everlasting no longer exists, remove all the branding, the links, and all this kind of stuff, so you're not being sent to worldvieweverlasting.com, which is an atheist page now these days. So I that's all done now. I've fixed all of that, removed all of that stuff. But then after this, the channel would be mine, because legally, is mine. It was mine. Always kind of was mine, regardless of who was allowed to be a brand on it. It was my channel. So, and my name being attached to that, and again, the way YouTube bylaws, I don't know what you call that, the contracts work, technically is their channel. They own it, right? And so that's why you can't sell it, and you can't really give it to somebody else. It is what it is, and it's really just who has access to it. But it's not property, and that's in the sense that we would think of property. Anyway, going deep on that, I guess I'm still a little nervous that someone might sue me over that, because like Worldview Everlasting was a nonprofit, and we were doing stuff on that. But I'm also hoping that Christians of Goodwill are just going to be glad that the content's being used and procured, which will bring us to another issue, Article 13. We still are going to have to talk about that, but let's stick with the framework shift. So just like that, I go from being somewhat obscure, and I really do mean this. I mean, if you're listening to this, you don't think I'm obscure probably, but what YouTube.com/RevFiskJ could do as a tool has probably been underestimated by everybody, myself included. And I don't know that this is entirely the perfect example, but I think I've talked before about the distinction between how Broken sold in its first couple of months, first 6 month block, versus how Echo sold in its first 6 month block. And it's in an order of 7x, right? 7 times better Broken sold than Echo, which was not insignificant at all. That was all YouTube.com/RevFiskJ's reach. How much more powerful video is than audio, and how having a channel that has high subscribers causes YouTube to actually push the content for you. And I've seen this as I've tried to rebuild a separate channel for myself, which you can go and you can find it. It's pretty much just got this podcast in video form. You don't see me. You can just listen to it there, as well as all the sermons there. And I was trying every once in a while to put some other content on. I did a couple of, just loose videos while I was driving or sit down, talk kind of things. That channel over the last 2 years, I mean, it's not inconsequential. It's not like there's nothing there. I don't even remember now what the subscriptions are at. So I'm going to go look it up. Hold on. Yeah, that's what I thought. It's pretty pathetic. 726 subscribers. And that's after, I mean, it's been there a year. I haven't promoted it quite the way I did the previous channel, but I haven't not promoted it. I haven't not put stuff on it. And let's just say it's been a snail's pace trying to get it going. And then what are my best views at now? The most recent video, I put up a video explaining some of what I'm saying to you now about the YouTube thing yesterday on that site. And it has 91 views as of a couple of hours ago. Now, if I just head on over to, If I just head on over to the Worldview Everlasting site, where I also put up a video yesterday. Now, granted, it doesn't say Welcome to Sermonsville. It does say No Infant Baptism. It has 792 views since yesterday and 94 likes. That's a significant difference of reach, even though it's still me, it's still my name, right? It's the same content in a real sense, but it's just a matter of the power of the channel that exists itself, yeah? And how far it can be pushed and what can be done with it. And I saw this when I put the first video back up again after receiving the channel back and beginning to remove the branding stuff so that there's no, I do not want to in any way benefit from Worldview Everlasting as a brand identity or as a corporation. It was a nonprofit corporation that no longer exists. I'm curating the old stuff. None of that old stuff should be monetized. Not that the monetization would really help that much. And there, with the exception of Bible studies, I will probably monetize just the Bible studies that went up. That was just me doing Bible study. The video that I put up, which by the way, will give you like, the monetization is just nothing unless you're getting millions of views. The video that I put up just saying, hey, whoa, look at this. I'm on this channel. This is crazy. Didn't think this would happen. You know, that thing exploded in the first day. I think I got to about the same number that we're at with this 24-hour period we're at now. But see, right now, that thing's sitting at, where are we? 1,753 views. And as that just kind of took a weekend to do that. I mean, not very long at all. What was interesting was to see how many people in the comments were like, "Where you been? What you been up to? Where can we find you?" kind of thing, right? So you maybe were like, "Oh, he's on KFUO," but like, no, there's people that like, this was it. This was the only contact, right? And these aren't like non-Lutherans, maybe. They are Lutherans. So the power of the platform itself, this is the framework shift again, that I'm like, whoa, look at that. Boom. The power of the platform. Now, I don't know how I should say this. Different people will disagree with me about this, and that's okay. But I have to admit it, though, that going into radio was not good for my public reach. And this is, again, the power of YouTube. And I underestimated it. I think everyone still underestimates it. Only guy who doesn't is Brian, who's doing everything he can. Wolf Mueller, he's doing everything he can to build his own channel because he realizes just how far this stuff will reach. But it's like for the last 2 years, 3 years, sort of fell off the map a little bit in some circles, in some corners, and it's about YouTube. And now I have that tool back. And I have this podcast, which I don't want to let go of because I think it's really valuable. In fact, I would want the channel, YouTube channel, to drive to this podcast as sort of the real stuff. But I'm having to figure out now, what does this framework shift look like for me in my week, right? 15 hours. Ooh. All for the YouTube videos? No, it can't be. It can't be. Yeah, but what do I do? How do I make it move? That's the big change. And then, okay, so here's another, and this one, I still don't know what to make of this. We got to talk about Article 13. I'm going to put a link in the show notes to a video by a lawyer, and he's actually a pretty entertaining lawyer. So don't not watch it because I said lawyer. He's a lawyer who has a YouTube channel and does YouTube-related law. He's really good. I like this guy a lot. I've watched several videos by him now as I'm trying to figure out a few things about, say, copyright and stuff like that and how it applies, fair use, all that. And most of his videos make it clear that there's a way to do fair use with other content. Or there used to be. Because the issue is that in, I think it was late March of this year, the United Nations passed something, for lack of other information, known as Article 13. And it is a copyright law. But it is a particularly diabolical copyright law in this way. It has made it possible within the countries that adopted it, the European Union, for individuals who own copyright of something, say a song or a movie, not only to sue the person who made the video, which they could do already, but to sue YouTube. Yeah? Which, by definition, means YouTube now has to put the hammer down, like hard. Because they're not going to give up the market of Europe. It's too big. It's how they make money. They're not going to back off from that entirely. What they've said they're going to do, and it's going to take 2 years to implicate or to actually do this and put all this into place, although apparently France is trying to get the law into action this summer. What YouTube is going to do is begin creating what we might call like a deep purge algorithm. They're going to be excessively safe with their computer learning as it looks at and moves through video content that's uploaded to YouTube, which means this, ultimately, along with things like censorship that is going to happen. It means that the likelihood of a video being flagged for copyright infringement is going to go up. It's going to be more likely. Okay? And what that means is that any content that previously was uploaded that has copyrighted material in it will be at jeopardy for being flagged. Now, I still don't know everything about, and the information's a little bit sketchy on what that means from YouTube's perspective. With some things, it just says blocked in some countries, right? Whether it'll just be that. And that already happens, like say with the Philippines, if you have certain music, the sound gets turned off. With some things, it actually doesn't let you show the video at all. And that also is again, just a flag. And then there's these things called copyright strikes. And these are where you are being accused a little more officially by someone else about making use of their particular content. So it's not just someone says, hey, that's content, but it's like, this is my content. And I'm saying it's my content. And this is where it gets really brutal. Three strikes, you're out. If you get three of those that are real, your YouTube channel is gone. Absolutely gone. Okay? Can you start another one? Maybe not even with the same Google account. I don't know. I don't know how that works. But it's just gone. And can you see where I'm going with this? If you're familiar with Worldview Everlasting and what it was and what those videos were. Now, I wasn't really trying to. I was trying to use fair use, right? The idea here is that I got a little music, but I clip it at the edges, just a few seconds, and I'm going to pull a bunch of pictures and video clips from other places and make use of them as jokes, and you know, it's really kind of our own thing. It's a teaching tool, yeah? But now all of that is potentially at risk, yeah? And this is, again, this is just, well, Big Brother is watching you, you know. Hey, look around. He might be right behind you, yeah? It is that. This is the Brave New World. Man, that'd be interesting to talk about that on this show sometime. Brave New World. Wow. I'm making a note. How does a Christian think about that? Okay, cool. So the threat here is that what? And these laws go active, and then the channel, Refist J, because of the old Worldview Everlasting content, gets 1, 2, 3 strikes really fast. Boom, it's all gone. And then that reach that I was just talking about that's so exciting because we can make use of it and it gets to places like Turkey, right? Gone. And I don't know what to do about this. I'm going to try to watch it really closely. But I'm going to tell you right now, there is very much the potential that at some point, I got to go through all those videos and just go mark them private. They're off. And then maybe we can find a way to go back into them and like purge the content that might be jeopardizing. Maybe. Maybe not. Yeah, I don't know. But that would be better than losing everything. So there's a couple things you can take from this. First, if you have a favorite Worldview Everlasting video that you point people to regularly, you need to go find a way to download it and save it for yourself. Because there is a likelihood, and I don't like this. I don't want this. This is the European Union. Thank you very much. There is a likelihood that it goes away from YouTube someday. And Twitch won't do any better, right? Anybody who's big enough to turn the eye of people who you want to have watch stuff is going to be big enough to not want to get sued by the people who made Batman punch a shark, a plastic shark from a helicopter, right? 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 So baptism 1.0, I think, right? So you should do that. And there are free tools for doing that. I will say I have just recently finally purchased something called the Softerino YouTube Converter. And I purchased it in order to download videos from YouTube easily. And the reason is because I'm looking into copyright-free music, which there's quite a bit of it out there, although one of the questions is whether Article 13 will destroy this as well, because a lot of copyright-free music is made by DJs who like to sample items and then reuse the samples, and is that really copyright? So that's all going on there. In any case, so I wanted to quickly download the stuff that these guys who have made copyright-free music are promoting for themselves on YouTube. Some of it you can find on SoundCloud, download it right there, but some of it you couldn't. So I spent the $20 and got this Softerino and, you know, boom, downloading stuff. So I will probably do that for some of the Worldview Everlasting videos as well, but you should do it if there's ones that you really think are the most important, right? Or that you would use regularly. Okay, so that's the first thing. And the second thing is, you know, if you hear about this, if it happens and someone says something about this, you are now informed about Article 13. I really recommend you watch this video from the lawyer. I can't remember his name. Ian? I think it's Ian. Because he also talks about how, like, this is the EU, but the way this kind of stuff works, you know, laws, is they don't usually sit still. So they don't usually go backwards either. So this is sort of the writing on the wall of big corporate interests influencing lawmaking in order to protect their pocketbooks, which foolishly they believe sharing stuff on YouTube is harming. They don't realize that every time it's shared, even someone who steals it says they love it, someone else goes and actually rents it. Like, it actually is free marketing. That argument has been made in the schools, and nobody who works in big old media believes it. For some reason, I don't know why, they could actually make use of it. They could be 10xing their reach by making use of it, but they don't. So anyhow, this is coming not only in Europe, but also in the rest of Europe eventually, probably. And then the likelihood, possibility, is that it hops the pond and it's over here as well, right? And so I don't know that the law, Article 13 in Europe, will do anything more than remove World View Everlasting videos from play in Europe, right? I don't know that. And if the U.S. never goes that way, maybe it's fine, but I just don't know. I just don't know. And with that, then again, the moment I see one strike show up on the channel that's like an actual strike, I am going and I am getting rid of, privatizing or deleting everything that is not clearly not going to get more strikes, because it is not worth losing the channel. It is just not worth it. And so I'm telling you right now, you know, go get active. Go buy yourself some Softarino and just start downloading it if that's what you want to do. Because we can't sell it. And if YouTube decides to do it, it's their platform. It's theirs, right? Someone else was saying, you know, I think it was this lawyer in another video. Like, so you're like going to complain, oh, YouTube, that's not fair. Why would you do that? And they're like, you're mad how we have rules for the platform that we built with our money and let you use for free and sometimes pay you for? Really? You're not going to, no, you can let us tell you how it is. Yeah. So that's Article 13 update. Something that you need to know about. Huh? But let's go back to the happy here and the framework shift and being able to see this platform as something that can reach all over the world. And we've only begun to maybe scratch the surface of this. And I get that, like, what I was doing with those snappy, edited, crazy videos, it was cool. It was toying with it. It was playing with it, and it became something kind of neat, and it hit a lot of people. But that's not the only way to do it. And, well, there's more that can be done. So if you haven't gone back over to youtube.com/redfiskj ever, I recommend you go there again, because you're going to see stuff. Right now, what I'm going to give a little run at, we'll see, is something called, well, I still hate that. I hate the sound of this word. You can't even pronounce it well on a microphone. Vlogging, right? Video logging. It's just still a thing. And this was a thing that Worldview Everlasting kind of began from, the idea of a video log. And I've told the story about Phil DeFranco. You can find his show still out there, and how he kind of got me going on that. That's one thing. But the idea of video logging, it's still around. And it is that you worry a little less. Well, some people do a lot of editing, but you can also just worry a little less about all the post-production, and you can just go on a regular basis. So let's see here. I've only done it for 2 days. Today will be the third day. But my intention is to sit down for a few moments pretty much every day, at least if I'm in studio. But even then, the phone works pretty well too. And we're just going to do something. So yesterday's, again, was on infant baptism, based on a comment that I got somewhere. And man, I got heated in that one. I was a little fiery. And you know, the one before was just talking about vlogging and the idea. Today, I have a link somewhere. I don't remember. We'll figure that out when I'm done with this. But you know, if you like the old stuff, I'm curious what you think about the new stuff. Something tells me it won't be the old stuff for sure, but it might be exactly what needs to be right now, because the pieces are just converging a little too conveniently to not see this as something to be thankful for, that is maybe even got a little oomph behind it. So I'm excited. I'm excited for July, when I will have this time. I'm excited to start doing some toying with it now. I'm excited about the other projects I'm working on. I mean, I didn't even barely scratch the surface. Hold on. I'm going to get the list. Oh, I'm not even going to pause it. As I get the list, have you heard of Everbook? If you haven't heard of Everbook, you should go to everbook.com. That will be a project that Pastor Brian Wolfmuller and I are kind of working on the side. It is the answer to information management. And I say that I didn't think it up. Brian thought it up. And this happened when we did the Why Pray episodes. Man, it was that conversation. Like, he's got this thing with him that looks like a piece of like dirty leather with a strap around it. And I'm like, what's this? And he goes, oh, it's this thing that I figured out to like manage everything. I'm like, really? Show me. Because he and I have gone back and forth on getting things done and time management all the time. We kind of were geeks about it a little bit. And so he shows me, and like within a day, I had ripped the pages out of one of my journals to create a dirty leather cover and started working on my own approach to this thing. And finally, I'm like, Brian, are you going to do anything with this idea? Well, I thought about trying to make something and sell it, but I decided not to. Brian, you're crazy, man. This is going to help people. So EverBook has come out of that conversation, and EverBook is a tool for, again, paper, analog, information management, unlike you have ever conceived before, totally customizable, and reliable. So there's more information at everbook.com. That'd be a side project. So I'm reaching for my EverBook, and I'm opening up my projects folder, and I probably haven't done as good a job at this, but I'm grabbing my RevFisk bundle, where I'm putting like all the stuff that I think I want to be working on side project-wise. And I've already talked about Gatekeeper, and I've already talked about, well, Earth, which is actually Soul Renders, is the working title for that book right now. I've talked about Ancient Legacy. There's a bunch of other books on file, and it tells me where to go find them. But then the other one that's really in process, God, it's so close, is A Book of Hours. This is a daily readings prayer book that is intended to be simple and usable. So I was really excited when Concordia Publishing House brought out the Treasury of Daily Prayer. I thought, man, that's a cool resource. I bought one. You know, $50. Okay, sure, fine. And I'll pray every day, right? And then I used it. And while it is certainly valuable content, it is, the way I would describe it, unwieldy. Length has something to do with it. It's also just a giant book, right? So in my life, pastor as I am, doing radio every morning as I am, I don't usually have the time to sit down for 45 minutes to do my devotions. Yeah? And I still want to do them. But what I really need is a way to do it in like 5 minutes, four maybe. Because then I can't say, oh, I don't have time for this, right? I could say I don't have time for 45 minutes today. It's really easy. To say I don't have time for 4 minutes, that's a little harder. And what if we did 4 minutes three times in the day? Morning, noon, and night. Now you got 12 minutes. Okay, that's a quarter of 45 minutes. And I actually do it every day rather than only once or twice a week. So now you got, what, 90 minutes, and then every day at 12 minutes, 70. You're almost there. You add that up for the whole year, and boom, you actually are, you're reading a lot more Bible. And so the Book of Hours is a concept for doing this, for having a small, portable book that allows you to do 4 minute devotions morning, noon, and night every day of the month initially. Yeah. So that's in process. I have a hard copy, and I'm going through, and I'm working on, like, in the book, I'm actually editing by hand or making notes about edits to typos is one thing, but then because of copyright, yay, copyright, you can't print the Bible. So cool. I'm making use of the King James Version, which is actually quite lovely, and I'm not going to change much of it, but every once in a while, there is a word. This is one of my favorite examples. The word froward looks like forward, almost spelled like it, just flips the O and the R, which means naughty. Yeah. And man, the translators like that word. They use it a lot, and it is just an awkward word. So it's like, okay, we can shift that slightly. So there's that kind of thing that's happening. But that's in the works. I hope I can get that done by this summer. But that extra time, we'll see if we can get there. So I'm looking through I had this idea too. Because while the Book of Concord and the documents therein are the ones that are published by CPH are copyrighted, right? And so they're limited in what you can actually use them for. The old Triglot edition, called Taproot sometimes, is not. It's public domain. And I was, the genesis of this is that I want to start a men's group for my congregation. And like, here's like this, oh yeah, men's group, let's get together. What are we going to do? We're going to read a book. Okay, because men have lots of time to read these days, right? And so we'll read a book, and once a month we'll get together, and then we'll talk about it. And I'm like thinking it through. I'm like, no one's going to actually read it. And then I'm going to have to sit there. I'm going to have to read it for them during the thing, right? And the idea would be to get together like at a pub, but to have that read it, that's not going to work. We need to actually know what it said. So I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Audible. There's this marvelous tool called audiobooks, where even if you don't like reading books, if you just can listen to the radio, you can actually read a book a month or more, right? Audible. So I go look in an Audible, and you know what's not on Audible? Lutheranism. There's none. Yeah. You can find a little Protestantism, Courage to Be Protestants there, but not much Lutheranism. So I had the idea, well, what if we just got the Large Catechism into an Audible book? How cool would that be? Just that. Let's just start there. And we have a public domain version. So I started doing the looking into what the Audible requirements are. And there are some limitations, even with public domain stuff, but it's not beyond being worked around. The trick is that you have to work around is the audio requirements for the Audible book. I mean, it's got to be better than what you're listening to right here. It's got to be really, really professionally produced. And kaboom, now there's an investment that needs to happen. I am talking with somebody who is a voice artist who thinks he can do it. I don't know what his price is yet. But so there's that project. There's that project. Oh, the logo. That doesn't matter as much. Streaming stuff, website stuff. Where's my other ideas? Sorry, as I just mumble into the microphone right now. Backlog categories, trying to get stuff on the website that I've already done, the issues, et cetera, stuff that I've done. Being able to find that, right, and make use of that, or turning those into books. We've had that request, actually, that the parenting one be turned into a book, and I've got the initial episode as a transcript, and my wife's looking at it, but you know how life is, yeah? Those are the kinds of things, by the way. So all that I'm saying here, when I'm like, I want money, give me more money. Like, what I'm doing with this money, generally speaking, is trying to spend it on these things. Not entirely, yeah, but that's where having that income can allow you to, 10x is the wrong word, to make better use of your time by paying someone else to do something that they're probably better at than you are anyway, in order to amplify the things that you would like to see done, yeah. And I was kind of hoping there'd be a way to see that happen faster with, again, talking with KFUO. Maybe there was a way, but nope. So it didn't work out, and that's all cool. But now, again, when you do subscribe and become my patron and support this podcast with $1.25 a podcast, that's something. It's good. If you can do 5, that goes really far. You out there doing 20, dear goodness, thank you so much. The more that we can build that up, the more that I will have the tools to push these other projects out, yeah? Because there's more. These are just the ones that I'm like supposedly working on right now, right? I have tickler files of things that I want to do later, and ultimately, all I really want to do is write. That's the one thing I can never quite get to fast enough. But step back. The framework shift, I think, is going to enable a lot of these pieces to maybe come into place. And I don't think I'm making an apologetic here, but I am saying that your support on Patreon is valuable for that reason, for these reasons, that the content which will come may take different forms, that I have got to find ways also to inspire myself to keep doing these things. But the goal is never to take your money and run. The goal is to pay the worker his wages, sure, fine. The goal is to do more good. To do as much good as can be done with the very limited amount of time that I have. I hit 41. It's not old, the old people tell me. But it ain't young, the young people tell me. It's over the hill. I remember those black balloons for my dad's birthday. Yeah? So, and in this, this last year, I've found a couple of interesting things. I had some issues with high cholesterol, some issues with high blood pressure, definitely some issues with weight gain again. I'd gotten down and then I was creeping back up, asking about how good is my heart as I watch my friend Aaron Wolf, just a couple years older than me, have his heart stop. And you know, how much time you got. And what can you do with that time? You got to pick the most important project, the best project, the one that is going to have the greatest impact. And clearly that's first my children, and then second my parish. But even those things are just pieces of this Word of God reality that is encapsulating us. And we are literally inspired, inspirited to stand firm in the present evil age, making the best use of the time. And that's what I want to do. And what is money? Money is stored work and time. That's what it is. You take work and you time, you store them in a piece of paper. But it's a contract. It's trust, right? It's just a piece of paper. But that's what money is wherever money has ever been. It's stored work and time. So what I am thankful that you do is you share a little bit of your stored work and time with me that I might have more work and time to create more with what I think you value that I produce. I hope that's the case. And again, a big thank you to all of you who do that. We're at an hour. I wasn't even sure if I'd be able to go talk about all this today. Oh, I got one more thing to throw at you. Because while we're on the errata episode, so someone else sent me a message about the word bull, right? Brian and I talked about this in the Antichrist episode, the papal bull and where that word comes from. And because it sounds like, you know, it's like a cow, right? And I did a little Googling on it and in the middle of the episode, and I got a piece of it, but I didn't quite get all of it. So it is kind of cool where it comes from. And I'm going to give you a word to help you remember it as well, right? So the word bull is Latin for bubble. Okay, bubble. And it's because when you would put the wax onto the letter to seal it closed and then stamp it with the seal, before the stamp came down, there would be like this bubble there, this bubble of wax, this kind of ball pushed up thing of wax. And you put the seal in it, and now there's the papal bubble, right? Bull. So that's where it comes from. And you're like, well, that's really obscure. It's not. We still use this word. If you go to church, you use this word every week. You walk into church and you look for the usher and you grab a bulletin. How cool is that, right? A bulletin. It's not a bubble, but it is an imprint on a piece of paper that is official. Yeah? There you go. Boom. The papal bulletin. That's what the word ultimately means, the imprint. Yeah? So, cool. A little bit of errata. Makes it all kind of make sense. I'm going to link to the Article 13 video. I'm going to link to my baptism video that I did yesterday, and you can find other stuff over there. I'm going to link to Softarino in the notes as well. And I have a note here to make sure that I think about who might be good to talk to about the brave new world we live in, and actually the book by Aldous Huxley and what that has to do with where we are going today as Christians. That sounds so interesting. Thank you so much for listening. If you listen to this show, more coming. We're not done. You know how it should end. Rock on.
Was that worth a dollar? What about five? Click the Patreon link in the show notes to sign up. Pretty please? Ha ha ha.